The National Party is calling the government's attempt to present a united front a sham. Over the last weeks, there have been open disagreements between New Zealand First and Labour on a range of key policies, including the refugee quota and employment law changes. Yesterday, they released what they describe as a blueprint for the rest of the term and beyond in a speech designed to show a united coalition. The Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says under previous governments, coalition agreements have set out specific policies but haven't spelt out the big picture.
It's a bit like a road trip that tells you who's in the car, but not where you'll be stopping, and it doesn't tell you where you're going. Now, I can tell you that as the person driving that car, that wasn't enough for me.
But Nationals leader Simon Bridges says Jacinda Ardern is not the one driving the car.
Winston Peters is acknowledging the symbolic few weeks that the government has had. The reality is, though, he can say one thing today, but he knows he's the real boss in this relationship.
And Winston Peters, Deputy Prime Minister, is with us now. Kia ora, Mr. Peters.
Good morning.
How do you get the right balance between the interests of your party and the interests of the government?
Well, first of all, by disposing of the mindless criticism from, for example, Mr. Bridges. I don't know why on earth he's on this program. I thought it was about this coalition and how it's working, and it seriously is. But sadly, politics today, before we start getting a thing called balance within the unified coalition system with a support partner called the Greens, before we do that, politics today, I'm afraid to say, has become 10% reality and 90% what the media say happened when it didn't. And that's why some of us are aghast at some of the comments. 10% of what happens is what you're getting, but 90% of what the media say happened didn't happen.
Can we get to the question, how do you, and this is more a philosophical question than any political question really, how do you get the right balance between the interests of your party and the interests of the government?
We have the right balance now. We've always had the right balance. We have a coalition agreement. We have, for example, the 100-day plan. We have the speech from the throne. And we had the budget 2018. There are four precise things which are the balance. And what I'm saying to you is, just please report it properly rather than what some amateurs suspect happened.
Well, why are you concentrating on the amateurs instead of on this interview, Mr. Peters?
Because I have to live with the consequences of that.
Well, let's try and be here and now.
Excuse me.
Do you dispute the fact that you undercut Labour on the industrial relations reforms?
Well, excuse me, I'm not going to be talked over with the greatest respect. I've been around for too long. I know a bit more about coalitions than you do. Let me tell you...
Well, your last one didn't go too well, did it? So how much do you really know?
Well, actually, it went very well under Helen Clark, and it went very well under Jim Bolger until somebody decided to betray their caucus and, without any mandate at all, had Jim Bolger fired. Ask Jim Bolger. He said that. Why can't you remember that? But get back to my point.
We're trying to be here and now, Mr. Peters.
Well, I am. If you just stop interrupting, I'll tell you what you know. This matter started with the so-called refugee quota and a claim from a TV3 journalist that it was 1,500. Now, nobody has made that claim.
I didn't ask you about the refugee quota, Mr. Peters. I asked you about the industrial relations reforms.
I'm getting to that because this is a...
But it would be nice if you'd answer the question.
Well,
don't
look,
you
I'm
think?
Not, I'm not going to be browbeaten.
You're not going to be answering questions?
I am answering your questions. If you'd only just keep quiet for 5 seconds.
I didn't ask you about the refugee quota, Mr. Peters.
I dealt with the refugee matter now on the question of industrial relations. This is an industrial relations package, which was not part of any coalition agreement. It's not part of the four events that I spoke about at the very start. And so we have worked on it. Now, what's difficult about that to understand?
I think that the perception is that you agreed to it in Cabinet.
Well, now, again, that is not the fact.
All right. What is the fact, then? What did you speak up and say, I don't agree with this, when you were in Cabinet?
With respect, we did all that and more. But you're trying to say...
I'm not trying to say anything. I'm asking you a question. Did you agree to it in Cabinet?
No, look, with respect, I don't know why they got you back and you got a tin ear. Let me ask you this. When it goes to Cabinet, to go before the Parliament, and to the special committee of the Parliament in a second reading, what about that sounds like finality? It never has been. So why are you saying, and your colleagues saying, it's finality without any regard to the full committee of the House or the third reading?
So Labour...
Please stick to what the political pattern always has been.
So Labour has jumped the gun on a couple of occasions and you've had to seriously pull them back into line.
No, again, that's false. That's wrong. That's spreading rumour with malice, and we're going to correct you every time you and your colleagues do it.
Fine. Correct away.
Well, I just have.
No, well, I mean, if Labour was taken aback by your withdrawal on the agreement, as they claimed, of the three strikes legislation and on the industrial relations reform, you must have had a serious chat with them we never agreed to that.
So now you've thrown in the three strikes one. New Zealand First position on the three strikes is, if we have proven that our justice reform, penal reform program does work and our criminal reform program does work, you can then deal to the three strikes. It's a matter of timing. And we are not on the wrong page. But we've got people who are mischief makers who think it's amateur hour and just keep on saying what they think happened when it didn't.
As a matter of interest, Jacinda Ardern in her speech said that she was going to beef up the Super Gold Card. What does she have in mind?
She has in mind of taking a card that's 10 years old and modernising it in every way to ensure that somewhere between 750,000 to, with vets and disability people, possibly 1 million people, having access to the latest technology to expand their buying power and improve their life dramatically.
And so how much more will that cost?
Well, the figure that we set out for that was between, in terms of work on it, somewhere between $5,000 and $9,000 in total. What will it cost? It'll be a massive savings to the country, in fact, because if you've got people going to see their doctor or going for an operation off their phone and app as part of a gold card, we will save the country a whole lot of money.
Sorry, what's the $5,000 to $9,000 you mentioned?
$5 to $9 million is what we thought the design
and construction
would cost, yes.
Right. And that's been agreed to everywhere, has it?
Well, let me tell you, that is a work in progress. The very concept and idea has been totally agreed to. But as we put the full package together, we have to go on consulting with all the parties in government, hopefully across the political divide, because it's in everybody's interest to fix this technology up, to have it where it was when I was last in charge of it, without any changes whatsoever, is an enormously retrograde event.
But a work in progress, Jacinda Ardern didn't present it as a work in progress. She said, I quote, "We will also enhance the Super Gold Card." Are you saying the extent of the enhancement is a work in progress?
Yes. Is that a surprise to you? The reality is we want to know, with all the modern developments around the world, what is the maximum capacity we could put on this card and what is something that will be fail-safe? In that context, yes, it is a work in progress, and that's what you'd expect from a reformist government.
And how would you rate the Prime Minister's leadership so far?
Well, I think she's doing a superb job, with the greatest respect. And I just wish some people in the press gallery and in the media would stop lecturing her when they know nothing about leadership, and she clearly does. That's why she's there.
And she's driving the car?
Of course she's driving the car. And anyone captain on a boat.
And where are you sitting in the car, Mr. Peters?
Does it really matter to you? I mean, I don't...
Well, that's why I asked.
I don't find these insinuations slightly amusing. I think it's rather typical, and with the greatest respect, it'll get you people nowhere. Get back to reporting the facts, and we'll all do so much better as a country.
All right, then. Thank you for your time. Winston Peters, Deputy Prime Minister.